Amen, amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's so great to be here with you this morning, and it is so great for us to be in our worship center this morning, isn't it? Yes. Absolutely. You know, earlier on in the week, a number of you probably saw that I had posted on our Facebook page and on our website that we weren't going to have access to our building today. And that actually we were going to be out here in the parking lot out here, and that was because we'd been told that there's no guarantee you're going to have any kind of access for a while, and stuff changes by the hour, it seems, the information we find. But we've all been praying, and of course, the environmental study was conducted. They needed to go right through the building and check that everywhere was safe and that we could breathe the air okay. And of course, this room got the okay, so that's good news. And is good for us to be together. It's been a tough week, though, hey? It's been a tough, tough week for Seven Oaks Alliance Church. What I'd like to do this morning is I'm actually going to break the rules of sermon somewhat, and we're actually not going to go through Acts today, but I'm going to spend the first half of the message today just giving you information, because I think that's what you need to hear. And so I'm going to talk to what happened, what is the extent of the damage, and what are the implications, and what does it mean for us going forward? And so the first part of the message is going to be all about that, trying to answer as many questions that you may have. And then after I've done that, after we've taught logistics for a while, we're going to take some time to look upwards, beyond the charred side of our building, to the God who is above all and over all. And we're going to conclude at the end by praying together. So what happened? Well, in the early hours of Monday morning, May 8th, I was awoken by a phone call from Rhonda Mears saying that the church was on fire. You may recall last Sunday, I was here on the platform praying for revival, and quite often when you pray for revival, the language is, Lord, bring the fire of revival. And I was pretty sure that's not what Ron meant when he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, and indeed it was not. So by the time I got here, we came down. Oh, the other thing too, just to say, I was the last one to leave here Sunday night at 9:15 after the evening gathering. I locked up and alarmed the building. And so for a split second, I was like, what did I do? Church family are going to lynch me. Oh, my word. But it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Let that be on record. Yeah. So when I arrived, this is what I found. And there's going to be some pictures scrolling through as I talk for you to see. When I arrived, there were all kinds of vehicles. I think almost every fire rig in Abbotsford was here, and there were some 40 firefighters that actually fought the blaze. There were police cruisers, there was an Abbey News vehicle, there was an ambulance, and our friends from the Salvation Army were here, and all of that. So it was pretty buzzing around this place. As the morning unfolded and the Abbotsford Fire and Rescue got the hold on the blaze and put it out, it became very clearly apparent that the fire was begun outside of the building in one of our stairwells on the very end of the building, where you kind of go down a few steps and there's a door that goes into one of those old prayer rooms. And it's pretty remarkable that the fire actually got up and into the soffits, into the roof, because it's just cement wall. And so it must have been a huge fire for it to actually get up. And you can see how scorched it is there. It got up into the soffits there, because that actually goes down a number of steps where it was started. It goes up into the soffits and into the roof. So it had to be a pretty big blast. As of now, I mean, we don't know anything, and I don't know we ever will, about the who or all of those kind of details. But the emergency services have certainly said it was suspicious, but I don't know that we'll ever know anymore. In terms of detail, though, the fire itself actually wasn't that big. It's surprising. In terms of the flames, it wasn't actually a big fire. We were told that as long as the smoke remains white, it's a good sign. When the smoke goes dark gray or black, it's bad news. And so it only remained white, meaning it wasn't a huge blaze. The problem is that it got into that roof. There are so many cavities in that roof. And you probably saw that the firemen had to hack into the side here and then hack in here and so on as they're trying to put out the blaze and it's spreading, because there's all kind of cavities behind there. So you have our membrane and you have all kind of different layers there of plywood and so on. And then you actually have breeze block behind there too. And so it got caught in the cavities and spread. So that's why it was so difficult for them to put out. We have been told that the damage to the roof is extensive. In fact, if you imagine what that big, huge, large beams, you know, we have all those beams in that room, the one on the very end for sure is going to have to be lifted right out of there. So that's cutting the whole roof in half and literally lifting that out, possibly even the second beam as well. So it did significant damage in there. You can see the ceiling is wrecked in that corner and so on. As well as the smoke and the fire, of course, there's a lot of water damage. The fire brigade were putting out the fire, spraying in foam and water and so on. And so as you can see, all of our carpeting has had to be ripped up and destroyed. All of the chairs in there are toast, they're done, they've all been thrown away. That's in the entranceway there, that's all been ripped out. So it's all wrecked. A lot of our sound equipment is wrecked. The whole room is just in a really, really bad shape. Beyond the actual youth center, however, and I'll, actually, before I get to that, I'll just say, my heart goes out to our roofers. They came here when the fire was still blazing, and they said to Ron and to me, they were like, you know what, we were a day and a half of work away from getting it done. And they've been working since August, a day and a half, and we were finished. And it was heartbreaking for them to watch that be hacked into with the axes and the chainsaws and so on. And they said, you know what, this was such a challenging project. We've never faced such a challenging project, and it was so awkward and difficult roof, but we're so proud of it. We worked so hard on it. And so it was hard for them. So my heart goes out to our poor roofers who get to do it all again. Bless her. I made a little joke like that, and I thought a couple of our roofers weren't ready for jokes yet, but it's like, if we don't laugh, we're going to cry. But anyway, my heart goes out to them. They were a pleasure to work with, and they're great guys, and we're really sad for them as much as we're sad for ourselves. In addition to the youth center itself, as you see, this is our front reception and offices. The smoke poured right throughout our building to the point that we walked into the breezeway here and it was just smoky. It was really smoky all the way along here. The worst affected areas are obviously the closest area to the youth center. This is our reception and offices. Every ceiling tile has been ripped out and thrown away. All of the flooring has been ripped out. Everything's going to need to be repainted. All of those rooms down the bottom there are all wrecked and being fixed up and that kind of thing. Everything, so all the flooring's been ripped out. Offices, classrooms, all the way along. The further you get west towards us, so the gym and the kitchen and so on, obviously there's less smoke damage there, which is good, the further you move this way. But our restoration company is literally going through room by room, and some of the rooms will just need cleaning. And will be reopened sooner. Others, as you see there, that's all the stuff we threw away. Our poor nursery, like every single toy is going to be thrown away. Kids put stuff in their mouth, right? So they just have to be thrown away. We can't keep any of that stuff. So they're literally going through room by room and throwing things away and cleaning up as best they can. We'll open them up as soon as we can as we get going. So what does this mean? What are some of the implications? Well, our staff have all been meeting at home. We've been all working from home on our laptops and so on. We haven't had access to any other offices. Some of our staff will have to move offices. So our support staff downstairs will be coming upstairs, which means running phone lines and all of that in the spaces we're going to put them in. So that is a big headache, as you can imagine. If any of you have called into the church lately, we're not getting your messages. We can't have access to our phones. So if you have, you don't expect us to get back to you. The best way for you to contact us is by email. We can all check our emails from home, so please feel free to do that. But the phone lines, as soon as they're ready, we'll let you know and you can call us again. But right now, we do not have an open reception. You can't drop by, you can't phone, but you can certainly email us. What else here? So some of our pastors' offices. Some of our pastors are a little luckier than the others. Pastor Matthew and Pastor Tim are going to be able to get back in their offices sooner because they were along here upstairs, and theirs are going to need cleaning and so on. My office and Pastor Kent and Pastor Renee, ours are a little more wrecked. We have no carpet anymore, and ours are going to be totally wrecked. We've quite possibly lost all our books and things like that, so which for a pastor, you'll know, is not that fun. But anyway, it's okay. It's just stuff. So our offices, I don't know when we'll get back in. It'll probably be a few months before we even get into our offices. We're not entirely sure yet. One of the biggest areas of ministry that's been affected is our poor children's ministry. As I mentioned, the toys, but also you may know our resource room was right next to the youth center with all of the craft stuff and pens and paper and crayons and craft materials. It's done. It's all gone. It's all been thrown out. So thankfully we have these rooms up the top here, unsupervised nursery, which will become a supervised nursery and for the really little ones. And so we will let you know how we're going to handle that. Pastor Renee will be in touch with all the parents as we figure all of that out. One thing we can be thankful for, church family, is that we are moving towards the summer, which means a lot of our ministries that use our building throughout the week are sort of wrapping up, so we can have the summer to fix everything up, and by September, we anticipate we'll have most of the building reopened, probably just the youth center won't be. So that's good, so that is a help. And for ministries that continue through the summer, for our addiction recovery ministry, for example, that happens every week, we will be looking to move them into our gym as soon as we possibly can, as soon as that's able to be open. So we are working hard at prioritizing. So we've asked our restoration company to prioritize our offices so we can get back to work, to prioritize certain rooms so that we can be using them for ministry and so on. So we are working hard. It is more complex than you can probably imagine. There is a lot of detail, and as I said, things are changing almost by the day. So, church family, what does it mean? Well, it means we're going to ask you to be as patient as you can with us. We're going to try hard to figure this out as best we can, but there's going to be upheaval. It's going to be difficult for a while, so we just ask you to pray for us and be flexible ministry leaders, that there might have to be some movement and cancellations and things like that, but we will do our absolute best to serve the church family and the ministries as best we can. One thing I really want to speak to, and you need to hear this, because everything so far has been maybe making you feel a bit nervous, but you need to know this, because I'm sure you all have questions about this. You need to know that we are very, very well insured. So our building and fire insurance, we're insured through our district. We're very well insured. So everything I've mentioned, all of the offices and classrooms, all of the carpet being ripped out and ceiling tiles and repainting, that's all covered by insurance. So the church isn't going to be on the hook for something it can't pay for. So that is good news. Also, with regard to the roof that we've just paid for, that also is well insured. I know many of you have given lots of money very sacrificially to that, and a lot of that money has already been poured into that roof. It will be fixed and redone. None of those dollars will be wasted. So we are well insured. I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. So that we're going to be okay. We'll be okay with all of that. All right. I think that's all the logistical stuff I'll share with you for now. Rhonda Mears, myself, Pastor Kent, we'll all be available in the lobby after the service. If you have questions, feel free to come and ask us. I probably haven't covered everything I could cover, and you may have questions. With many of your questions, we may just have to say, we don't know. We don't know yet. And that's okay. We have a lot of questions too, but certainly I may not have covered stuff that you're wondering about. Please feel free to come and talk to us. We'll be happy to give you our best answer. There's other pastors that you can talk to, our board of elders, who know some of what's going on too. Ron has certainly got his finger on the pulse. He's the closest to the action, so feel free to do that. For your encouragement, church family, there has been an outpouring of love and support from our community and beyond. I can't tell you how many churches in our town have called me, have emailed me, have Facebooked me, have texted me to say, we love you, we're praying for you, come meet in our building if you need to. When we were going to meet outside, we had a church say, hey, we'll drop off chairs and we'll pick them back up afterwards. We have had an outpouring of love, and you don't get to hear that. I get to hear that, but let me share it with you. Churches in this town love us, and we love them. So it's been good. Far beyond this town as well, we've had Alliance churches from all over. An Alliance church in Alberta that had a fire. The guy got in contact with me, and the youth pastor got in contact with Pastor Tim. And so from all over, people have been loving us. Pastor Errol, our district superintendent, wanted me to pass on greetings to you, to express to you that we are loved by our district. Our district staff are praying for us. Ambrose University College are praying for us. Our board of directors in Ontario are praying for us. So they've all been contacting me, and they all love us and want us to know that we are being well covered in prayer. So that's good. At this point, church family, what I'd like to do is point us to the God in whom we have trust. Everything I've said has been practical and logistical and important, but I want to speak beyond all of that stuff for the remainder of our time this morning. There is absolutely no doubt that we, because we are a church, are opposed. We are especially spiritually opposed. We've been studying the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, we're getting these wonderful stories of the church being born and growing exponentially, and people getting healed, and miracles occurring, and thousands of people getting baptized and coming to faith and declaring Jesus as Lord. Incredible things happening. And in the last couple of weeks, we've seen how, as the church has begun to get to grow and expand and have impact on its community, opposition has raised its head, correct? And we've been looking at that over the last few weeks. The church of Jesus Christ has so often been opposed and maligned in cultures throughout history that it has found itself in. The church today is persecuted in many lands of our world. And we are certainly opposed by spiritual forces that stand in opposition to the God that we serve. There are countless stories in history, however, not least in the book of Acts, of the church being opposed, and as it is, God rolls up his sleeves and he gets involved. He often uses the times of adversity and opposition to actually draw the church closer to himself and actually expand its mission in wonderful ways. Countless stories of that kind of thing. So whether this was a deliberate act against us or not, and in many ways it doesn't really matter, it is what it is, it's happened. Whether it was deliberate or not, one of the things we can be truly sure of is that the enemy would love to use this incident of the fire to discourage us, to tempt us to respond in anger and frustration, to cause us to lose hope, to make us disheartened, but we will not. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. We are not going to play that game. We may feel sad, and that's okay. We may mourn, and that's okay. There's no doubt we're going to be inconvenienced, and that's okay. We'll get through it. Fear may creep in at times, and that's normal. But we are going to stand firm in Jesus. We, church family, will not be tempted to vilify and point the finger at any segment of our society that we think might have caused this, because that's not who we are. We are going to continue to love our city. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not going to turn to anger or comments against others. Rather, our attitudes and our words, when somebody comes up to you in the grocery store because they know you go to Seven Oaks and say, hey, what happened at Seven Oaks? Your response, church family, needs to be not anger and frustration and finger pointing, but rather, yeah, it's too bad, but you know what? And may your words be full of hope and forgiveness and the future and the love of God. Amen. Amen. Because you know what? We can be witnesses to our city through the way we react. Absolutely. Secondly, we are not going to lose heart, but rather we are going to turn our hearts to the Jesus that we love and serve, our King and Master. The church building may be damaged by fire, but the church is in good shape. Amen. The church is in good shape because the church building, it's important to us, absolutely. It's our home. Yes, it is. We're thankful for it. We're trying to renovate it. The church building is important to us. It is. But the church building is not the church. We are the church. We the people of the church. And the church is in good shape because we're in Jesus' hands. And so we will not be tempted to circle the wagons and start to, in an inordinate way, look inwardly and be tempted to step away from mission because we become overly distracted by what's happening on the inside. We're not going to step out of mission. We're going to continue to reach out. We're going to continue to love our city, and we're going to continue to love our world in Jesus' name. Yes, we've got some work ahead of us, but we will not be distracted from mission. And thirdly, we are going to continue to look upward to the God in whom we have our source, who is the source of hope in these hard moments, who is the source of all hope going forward. 2 Corinthians 4:18, I think we have it on the screen coming up for you, says this: "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, or what cannot be seen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." The Apostle Paul said that when he wrote to the Corinthians for the second time. And he'd just prior to that been talking about his own sufferings, the things he'd gone through, the things against him. And the perspective he put them in were they are only a temporary affliction. What is seen and how we suffer is temporary. What is unseen is eternal, is what he was saying. So for us today, we have suffered a fire in our building, and it doesn't feel very good. We may feel sad. We may feel opposed. We may even experience feeling that sense of being opposed. For our staff, it's going to mean some headaches, and we're aware of that. And a number of you have said to me, and rightly, I agree with you, a number of you said to me, and rightly, I believe, that things were moving forward in the church so well in terms of a decision even to fix up this facility was like putting a flag in the ground and saying, this is our land, this is where we are, we're in the middle of the city for a reason, we're staying here, we're not moving. Things were going so well in terms of our own sense of hope and optimism about our future, which hasn't always been the case at this church over the years. We have, things have been going well in terms of getting to grips with our vision, a mission of knowing Jesus and making him known, of growing deeper and reaching wider. So as the church has been poising itself, as we've been poising ourselves and posturing ourselves towards God, and we've been seeing some incredible things happen in our midst. We've seen people come to faith and get baptized and get free of addiction. We've seen people get healed in their physical bodies. We've seen people go out from here on mission. Things have been going so well. It is no wonder that we should face opposition from the unseen realms, right? It means we're doing what we should be doing. It means that God is in our midst and he's working. And it's not to say the devil lit the church on fire. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that our enemy is always at work to oppose us. Our enemy is always working in and through broken human beings to cause havoc, to try and shut down the church, to try and make us ineffective. We should not be surprised, but we serve a mighty God. And greater is he who is in us than he is in our world. Greater is he who is in the midst of his church. Greater is he who draws his church and guides his church forward. Greater is he that empowers his church than he who is opposed to this church. And Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." Amen. So what the enemy may intend for evil, God has the habit of turning it around for good. He is the God of resurrection. He's the God who makes dead alive. He's the God who brings beauty out of ashes. He is the God who does great, great things, and we need to be waiting in eager anticipation for what God is going to do in and amongst us through this affliction and this challenge and this pain. Church family, this could be our moment. Yes, we'll get everything fixed back up, absolutely. Yeah, all of our rooms are eventually going to be reopened. We're going to get new carpet in there. We're going to paint the walls. We're going to be able to go and start our ministries up again. I'm pretty sure by September, most of it will be opened, except maybe the youth center. But we were going to have to close that anyway when we did renovations inside. So it's going to get fixed. It's okay. It's a hassle, but it's okay. But what is this going to do to the soul of our church? That's what I can't wait to see. What is this going to do to our soul? Well, this just might be our moment. Because God can use affliction and setback to actually awaken communities of his people. In a few moments, I'm going to lead us in a prayer time. And I'm going to ask us to cry out to God together. And yes, we're going to pray for some stuff we need him to answer for us, absolutely. But we're also going to declare some things about him and about who he is and about his identity as Lord and Creator. We are not going to look to our circumstance, but we're going to look beyond that to the God we worship because he is worthy. And we're going to move forward in excited anticipation of what God is going to do and how he's going to use this situation to shape us as a local church body. He's calling us to greater dependence. He's calling us to a deeper intimacy to up our prayer lives. He's calling us to trust him with our future. Let this be our moment, church family. Amen. Amen. I'd like to lead us in prayer.